Hello, I'm Penelope Maver, and welcome back to the Earth Converse podcast, where we explore our conversations and relationships with the Earth, all in the hope of inspiring a deeper connection with ourselves, each other, and the Earth that is our home. Spring and seeing those little buds, I am reflecting on potential. It has already emerged as a big theme on the podcast, with episodes full of people, potential stories, people talking about it in some form, whether it be about their own evolution or going beyond what they imagined themselves to be, and the people that believed in them. And so, in this 44th episode of the podcast, I want to drop in a seed for your own reflection about belief in potential, the belief you hold in others, those you love, lead, and of humanity itself, which of course is a reflection of your belief in yourself. It is a big topic, unlimited potential in fact. So mainly I will offer reflective questions for you to use as prompts. This time I will not mark them with the forest sound. You will do with it what you will. And as I speak aloud, I'm beginning to think, what human story is not about potential? Oh wow. To what extent is that true? Well, to narrow it down, a story I like to use about potential because of a lovely memory it evokes of being in Firenze, in Florence, working with a group of business leaders, with a sports athlete, talking about how the coach believed in her and the impact it had on her performance. And that's not even the story. It was what I did afterwards, going to see the magnificence of Michelangelo's sculpture of David. He who said, "I saw the angel in marble and carved until I set him free. Every block of stone has a statue inside it, and it is the task of the sculptor to discover it." Whether you're an artist, a leader of a company, a coach, parent, or supportive friend, if you want to help someone realize their potential, you have to believe in them. You have to see that potential, even if the current physical form or behavior suggests otherwise. Indeed, how can we help someone extend beyond the limits of their own conscious knowledge and access their untapped resourcefulness, their latent talent, if we don't believe they can? There are numerous stories and studies which have demonstrated the impact of seeing that belief. In talking about belief, sometimes the Pygmalion effect is mentioned, from Livingston's article in the Harvard Business Review in 1969, bringing in the ancient mythical sculptor Pygmalion, who carves a statue of a woman that is brought to life. In the article, Livingston also pays homage to George Bernard Shaw's play, which explores that the notion that the way one person treats any other can, for better or worse, be transforming. And I like this story to illustrate what wisdom has always known and which quantum physics proves, that we co-create our reality. We see what we want to see. Our thoughts influence what we experience. This story, you may know it. There was once a traveller journeying from one village to the next when he met an old sadhu sitting by the roadside. "What are the people like in the next village?" the traveller asked the sadhu. "Well," replied the sadhu, "what were they like in the last village?" "They were unfriendly, surly, uncooperative, and greedy," said the traveller. "You'll find they are much the same in the next village," said the sadhu. A short time later, another traveller journeyed along the same road. Meeting the sadhu, he asked, "What are the people like in the next village?" "Well," replied the sadhu, "what were they like in the last village?" "They were friendly, pleasant-natured, cooperative and generous," said the traveller. "You'll find they are much the same in the next village," said the sadhu. You will have your own stories, famous and otherwise. And what are they? And for a deeper reflection into your own experiences, Here are some questions to ponder. Think about a time in your life when you knew someone didn't believe in your potential, that they chose not to see it. How did that show in their behavior? How did that impact on your feelings, attitude, your behavior, your performance, your life? And when somebody did believe in you, how did that show in their behavior? How did that impact on your feelings, attitude, behavior, performance, life? When I ask these questions on coaching programs, a few will say they were told they could not do something by somebody, so they went out to prove the person wrong. Yes, they do achieve, but it does have its damage. In fact, this was demonstrated in a conversation just yesterday with a doctor. I had to go there to get my moles checked. I'd never met him before. And in my simple inquiry during our conversation, I asked, well, how did you get into dermatology? This question opened up to a story that early on in life, he had this idea to be a dermatologist. And his father said he was an idiot and would not be capable of it because he was no good at science. This guy is now in his late 50s with 38 years of dermatology experience, doing what he loves, has a family, and sits hunched like a small boy in telling the story. He has achieved, but it has had its damage. And he goes on to say, how could a professor, his father was a professor, who is responsible for educating minds, have such a lack of belief in his own son? And of course, he, in that raising his sons, he's determined to show that belief and potential. It is possible to help someone step into their potential with a kind heart. So even you with this kinder intention, even you, what are the subtle or not so subtle messages you give about your belief in the other? We may talk freely about unleashing human potential, but deep down, not quite believe it. We see the other as being too young or too old to do or be X, Y, or Z. We may see them as smaller, less capable, less wise, less. We may not really listen to them. We may not really give space to their own thoughts, opinions, and feelings. We may interrupt them as they talk. And as Nathan C. Klein wrote, interruption is a violent act. She says we all long for the promise of no interruption, the promise of interest, and the promise of attention while we think, the promise of this much respect for us all as human beings. We long for that gentle, rigorous expanse that produces felt thinking and thoughtful feeling, she writes. Every day and every interaction, vital or trivial, we hope for the kind of presence that lets our brains and hearts find themselves. And yet, as she says, we interrupt endlessly and end up making excuses for interruption. I must clarify. I must correct. I must look smart right now. I must enrich. I must follow my own curiosity. I know where you're going with this. I need to take you elsewhere. Your unformed thought will be less valuable than my formed one. I am more important than you are. I look stupid not talking. No one needs to listen this long. You will never stop. So we interrupt. We may also find ourselves telling people what to do rather than giving them an opportunity to think for themselves. Orlin Bishop says human rights violation starts right in the family, home, when we don't give others the chance to share their views. Or create a sense of dependency by confining them to our answer or view of the world. And we can hold back from giving the other a chance. We can project our own fears and experience on the other and not allow them to take on that challenge or not give them that stretching assignment. I saw this with my own experience in work, collaborating with different consultancies. One who gave me work with executive boards and fronting big events. the other not. For, of course, a belief in others' potential reflects how we see ourselves, our own potential. I remember when undertaking my training coaching, like over 15 years ago, in a 360 assessment, my leader at the time evaluated me low on belief and potential. And I was horrified. Of course I believe in my coachee's potential. But reflecting on possible reasons for a low score, I realized, how could I believe so deeply in the other if I did not believe in myself? We owe it to ourselves, others, and the world to love and believe in ourselves deeply. As Julia Middleton, founder of Common Purpose and woman emerging from isolation, and a leader who believed in me, said on the Earth Converse podcast, there is nothing more sinful than squandering talent. Our world is a story of potential. We are co-creators. What light do you choose to see humanity in? And how is it affecting your experience? If we are struggling to see the potential in the human species, take time to observe the wider natural world. Here we're coming out of winter with the barren ground. Seemingly nothing's been happening, and then the burst of growth. Or sit by a tree to muse from where it came and what it is. You know, plant seeds on your windowsill. Just look up at the sky. Immerse yourself in the ocean. Or just contemplate these things and wonder at their immenseness and mystery. They hold way beyond what we know and see. How can we think we know all about what they are? How can we know all what we are or the other is? There's so much mystery, so much potential. Here in Mallorca, I'm enchanted by the butterflies around. It's a perfect example, as Buckminster Fuller said, there is nothing in a caterpillar that tells you it's going to be a butterfly. You know, this caterpillar, chrysalis butterfly example Bill Plotkin so powerfully talked about on episode 40 regarding our own transformation, in particular where the chrysalis is both in a state of dissolution and holds the imagines of being a butterfly. And Tara Brach, meditation teacher, the acorn has the urge to become an oak, and the oakness is already there. As leaders, surely it is our role to know that and help provide the conditions for the oak to realize its potential. And what a gift you can give someone and all of us on this planet, helping ourselves and others step into potential. And that's why I love coaching and why I'm a coach. Coaching gives a person the space, stimulus, and structure to explore their potential, their dreams, their wisdom, their challenges, their solutions. And I'm interested in working with people who want to explore this, to activate a deeper consciousness and act in service of life. And I believe if there was ever a time for self-reflection and inner work for our own evolution, it is now. If you are seeking to do this and would like to be coached, please get in touch. And similarly, if you would like to learn to coach, please contact me. Our ways to consciousness and evolution and transformation are unlimited. But for me, coaching is a key leadership mindset, skill, and activity. And to learn how to coach with nature as our source, our guide, our supervisor, our stakeholder is even more potent and transformative. So do get in touch. But for now, I'll take a pause and see you back for the next Earth Converse podcast. In the meantime, enjoy Earth. One conversation at a time.